Ron, why didn't you yell right now like Folesy invited you to? Have you broken that tradition?
I kind of got away from that a little bit. I don't know why.
Did you tell Folesy?
No.
I miss you doing that, Ron.
Folesy, are you offended by Ron not telling you?
I'm not offended. I'm just a little disappointed.
Disappointed is a good word.
I hate to be a disappoint Maddie.
It's like disappointing your own son.
Your young child.
Yeah, I thought we had a thing about that. We had a bond.
Letting him
down. So did I. You say right now, and then Ron yells it. And suddenly it's not happening, and I think Ron has hurt your feelings.
It hasn't happened in the 2 weeks since you've been back.
I just noticed it today.
Okay,
obviously, it's still sticking with Maddie, and he wants to have a word with you. Maddie, express your feelings.
No, I'd never want to force Ron to do it with me, but I enjoyed it when he did. You know, that's all.
Okay. He enjoyed that, Ron. It was a tradition he enjoyed, and he's sad that it's gone.
A tradition unlike any other.
Do you want to say anything about it? That it's gone for good now?
It's probably gone for good.
Did I do something to ruin it?
No, probably gone for good. Maybe when we change the intro music like you had proposed to do, you've had a number of people send you suggestions, and you haven't done it.
You're
talk
right.
About disappointing me. There's a son disappointing his old man.
See, Ron has turned things on
me.
Wow,
does that hurt?
He has taken a book from the Joe Starkey, or a page from the Joe Starkey book.
Yeah.
Of flipping things.
That just hurt to hear.
How are your boys doing today? You all right? I want to know how you hit Pebble Beach yesterday, Joe.
Well, to your first question, mildly depressed and fearful of the future. How are you, Folesy?
I'm doing well, although Mariah fell asleep in my arms this morning, so that was tough to leave.
Oh, is that tough to leave?
Yeah.
You know what one of the worst days I had when my daughter was a baby? I had her for 3 or 6 months, and then my wife did. I had paternity leave. She had maternity leave, maybe the other way around. So we had her every day. The first day dropping her at daycare, my God.
Breaks your heart.
I called my wife and wept into the phone. I'll never, ever, ever forget.
Leaving her with strangers.
I left her at daycare, and she was looking up at me from this little crib or whatever she was in.
What are you doing here? What's up?
Oh, my God.
What's up with that?
I'll never forget the sight of that.
That's why I'm hoping to avoid daycare to a point, you know, maybe just drop them off at a parent's house or a relative, you know, somebody that I at least know a little bit.
That doesn't count as daycare.
Right.
Well, it turned out to be good.
Grandparents don't count as daycare.
Right.
For us, that turned out to be a good move because it's sort of painful as it was, put her out into the world and got her socialized a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
different for everybody. Everybody likes to do it different, and that's fine. For us, that was helpful, Ron.
I'm glad it worked out for you. She's a great young girl, so clearly she wasn't impacted in a negative sense.
I don't think. More importantly, how are you?
Okay, I'm fine. Friday, a little down because there's no football this weekend. I miss football already. What am I going to do on Sunday without football? What am I going to do on Sunday without football after next Sunday for 6 months?
Drink.
It's more fun when there's football.
Yeah, I agree. I know.
More fun.
It's the national pastime. At least this, Ron. At least there's more interest in college basketball.
Around here, there is. There is.
That's a legitimate point.
And the Penguins still got their stretch run to go, so I'll find something to keep me going.
We have trade deadlines. We have all kinds of treats. Maybe the Pirates will be interesting for a month, for a day, for a week, an hour? I don't know, Folesy. Certainly opening day will be interesting with McCutchen back.
They're on the road for the first six games, so they could be 0-6 by the time they come home, or they could be 6-0.
Over under 2.5 wins in the Pirates' first six games. Folesy?
Over.
Ron?
I'm going to say 3-3 over.
I'm going to say 1-5 under. Then they get hot and they win one in a row. Folesy, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm a little scatterbrained. I'm getting everything together, but I'm good.
He's a little flummoxed.
He
needed another minute and he didn't get it before the show. So.
Well, he insulted me right off the bat today when I said, "Do you like my hat? It's a Bills, baseball cap here." And he said, "The Bills are losers." Well, and he wasn't kidding.
He's just talking facts.
Are they losers?
He's telling the truth.
Here's what I think about the Bills, honestly, now that I've had a few weeks to digest this. And all of us, or at least Ron and I, just put together our Super Bowl matchups for next season. The way too early Super Bowl matchups.
Way too early. I'm going to wait till this one gets over, but we did it.
That we love, and I'm probably guilty of it too, in our sports society, to build people and teams up and then tear them down based on what our unrealistic expectations were in the first place. The idea that the Bills ever had by far the best roster, they're the best team, they're the team to beat, some said easily early in the year, right? Do you guys remember that? Will you vouch for that? We had people, I'd say the vast majority of people had the Bills number one and said they were the best team in the NFL.
Well, especially after they beat the Rams the opening game of the season.
Yeah.
The Rams team ended up being pretty bad.
Right.
But they looked great.
They looked great. And then they blew out Tennessee, something like that. They're the best team in the league.
Where did it turn for them?
I don't think it did. That's the point. I'm not sure that it turned that much. What did they win down the stretch? 7 of their last 8? They had, well, it turned, mostly turned with Von Miller. Yeah, they went out and spent $1 billion on an elite pass rusher.
Done.
But what we do is we build them up, and then when the Bills don't live up to the football world's inflated expectations, they are, in the words of our friend Folesy, losers.
Then we tear them down.
Right, Folesy?
Yes, and I just wanted to, you know, give you a little dart to start off the day. I actually like the Bills. I root for the Bills.
I think the Bills going into next season, what, Josh Allen stinks now? The whole team stinks? Like, throw them aside? They're not a contender? Come on.
A lot of the criticism is that they're not a team built for December and January, which is weird coming from a Buffalo team.
Are there questions up there about the coach?
No.
No?
No. They won a playoff game again. And then they lost to a really good team. I don't know, though. I'm not immersed up there. There may be.
Had to be after the way last year, and not this season, last season.
Definitely criticism of his final decisions was horrific, but they did make the AFC title game. They have won 1, 2, 3, 4 playoff games in the last 3 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're a good team with a great quarterback.
Answer me this. Riddle me this. I was thinking about this last night. In the wildly unpredictable NFL, and I say that sarcastically, tell me the playoff teams from the AFC next year right now, before the draft, before free agency. I'll start Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, and Kansas City are my clear-cut division winners in the AFC. I don't care what happens between now and September. I'll be surprised if any of them doesn't win their division.
I can't disagree. I think Jacksonville's going to take another big step. You know, Kansas City, to me, is ahead of everybody. Cincinnati's ahead of everybody. And Buffalo's ahead of everybody. I can't disagree with that.
Folesinki?
I'm on board.
Folesinki? Is that what he called you this time?
I don't know. Helsinki's on my mind.
Sometimes it's Nader, yes. Right?
I know.
Helsinki's on my mind because Pitt basketball just got the one kid's brother who's from Finland. Federico. Did you see that?
No.
Or they offered him something. I don't know. Some story today where they might get his brother in here from Helsinki.
Well, speaking of Europe.
Yeah.
Guess where my kid is this morning?
Where?
Amsterdam.
Wow.
She.
What a place to be.
I took her to Florida for 8 days. She literally got home Sunday, left Monday morning with her best friend for Puerto Rico for 8 days.
Mm.
Got home Tuesday. Left last night for Amsterdam, 3 weeks in Amsterdam, and then she's going to France and Switzerland. What a life that is.
That's incredible.
What a life that is. She can work wherever she is.
Tell her to bring back some chocolate from Switzerland, Ron, and maybe a watch. That's amazing.
So my kid is, you know, she texted me at 6:30 this morning. She landed in Amsterdam, which is 12:30 in the afternoon there. I can't keep track of. She's a world traveler.
Do people in general still send old school postcards from their stops around the world?
She sends me text pictures all the time like that.
Is the postcard industry dead, Folesy? Or do people?
Well, I remember used to do that all the time.
That was your first move, right?
Right. Send it back home to somebody important.
Yes.
If it's not dead, it's on the brink.
No, it has to be dead. I can't even imagine anybody doing that anymore.
I know.
You got the phones now.
I know. And yet when I'm in a place...
That's still a
unusual
cool thing to do.
Even Deep Creek, Maryland, there's postcards in the little gift shop, right?
Yeah,
I think it's still a cool thing to do. I think it's going to make a comeback, Ron.
I just think people...
Postcards.
It's the thought that matters, and if you send somebody a text, you're thinking about them as well.
I know.
And it's so much easier than having to write them out, get a stamp.
But it's more meaningful to do that, right?
You know what? I still send handwritten notes. I mean, like,
yes.
If somebody dies, I'll send a condolence note.
Yes. It means
instead
more.
Instead of on the phone, if I have somebody's address, I will write it out. And
yes.
I think it means more. I do. I agree with that.
I tell or told my students at Waynesburg, when you get an interview or somebody does something nice for you in the industry, the media industry, send them a little handwritten note. It means more than a text or an email.
Years,
it just does.
Years and years and years ago, I sent a handwritten note to Roger Goodell looking for a job. And I had met Roger. He knows who I am. If he'd walk in here, he'd call me Cookie. Hey, Cookie, how are you? We met. I know him. And he wrote back something quickly like, I'll keep you in mind or something like that. And then again, never heard from him after that.
What if Ron was the NFL's officiating czar, Ballsy?
I mean.
Al, what was his name?
Al River Ron.
River Ron. There you go.
It's Al River Ron. Ron. But I would call him Ron. What if he was? Ron, you would be unbelievable at that. What kind of job did you apply for?
Something media relations. Something. Told him, I said, I think I understand how the media works, blah, blah, blah. This was when I think the papers were on strike.
Early 90s?
Yeah, early 90s. And the Teamsters went out. And I was at the Post-Gazette, and it looked like they were going to just die. And then they end up buying the press, and I survived. Although I never got laid off. I think Bouchette and I and maybe one or two other people were never laid off during that whole thing. So
who knows what happens once your foot is in the door at the NFL? I mean, Goodell himself started as a
New York Jets lackey,
yes,
taking me around, and I did a story on Joe Walton.
You could be the commissioner, Ron.
He took me around. One of us made it, and one of us didn't.
Well, Ron, if you ever want to leave us, then you've got something to fall back on, right?
I told you, Goodell would hire you. I told you he didn't get back to me, other than
but he knows you.
I got to, he's going to hire me now. Right, right.
What an unbelievable story. I never knew that. Did it include a resume?
No.
Just a little note.
I don't know that I've ever done a resume in my life.
Really?
I don't know that I've ever done one.
Huh.
Because I interned at the Beaver County Times between my junior and senior year of college. Before I left for my senior year, they told me I had a job when I graduated, which was really nice.
That is.
A lot of people in my class at Northwestern didn't have jobs. I had one lined up. That's why I graduated on a Saturday and drove home from Evanston on a Sunday and started work on a Monday. So I never did a resume there. I was at the Beaver County Times. I got offered a job in Baltimore covering the Orioles. I really wanted to.
What year was that?
Might have been 82, 81.
That would have been a nice time to cover the Orioles.
Yeah, but the paper ended up going defunct. It was the Baltimore News American. And the guy who offered me the job, I just didn't feel right, so I turned it down. Meanwhile, that guy then took the job at the press as the sports editor, and I figure I got no shot. I turned him down. Why would he come back? He came back to me, offered me a job at the press, and I took it. So I never did a resume.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many people give you a chance to turn them down?
Yes.
And then come back at you a second time?
Funny you should mention that. And by the way, Folsy sends out a batch of resumes every day.
Yeah, I know.
You've never sent one out. I've got them out every single morning.
I'm desperately trying to get
He's looking to get away from us.
That's his first move on a daily basis, is a batch email, a Charlie Batch email to everybody.
I'll never forget, though, turning the guy down.
Yeah.
And then I think I was maybe his second hire in Pittsburgh. Bob Hertzel, and I think Hertzel was hired to cover the Pirates. And I think we were both hired the same week. I never got over how he didn't give me, he gave me a chance to turn him down again. And not many people will do that to you.
Because here's the moral of that story to me, or one of them, Ron. I bet you were very respectful in turning him down the first time. And my mom told me a long time ago, never burn a bridge.
Oh, absolutely.
I was a substitute teacher in Pittsburgh, and I didn't like some of the things that were happening. And I stopped doing it. And I wanted to tell this one person off on my way out. And my mom said, don't do it, because
you never know
if that person will be your boss in another line of work. And funny enough, twice, not once, twice in my life, including Jim Gracie, who was our program director, I turned him down at 1250 ESPN to take this job in 2010, was it, right?
Yeah.
Thinking, all right, I turned it down very respectfully. How did I know 10 years later
he would be
he was
going to
come
here.
Back and be my
no,
boss?
No, you could have very easily done it not respectfully.
Right.
I was the same way.
Never burn a bridge, Fulsey.
Funny, Gracie tried to hire. I'm the only guy he didn't try to hire at TAE. And then he ends up being my boss here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and you had a wonderful relationship. This is Gather Around the Fireside for Fulsey. Well, is that the name of our segment?
Something like that. Yeah. I'm soaking it all in.
Yeah, he's soaking
he's
it in.
He's learning. He's a young foal.
Right.
He's going to have multiple job offers
yeah,
pretty
don't
soon.
Burn any bridges.
Don't
You'll be
ever,
surprised.
Don't
yeah.
ever burn any. As much as you might want to, don't.
Don't do it.
I left the Valley News Dispatch in 1995, and one of the bosses there, not sports, another boss says, you're going to regret it. Basically, you're not good enough to survive out there. And I wanted to tell him and everybody there off, but I didn't. And lo and behold, the sports editor from the Valley News became my sports editor at the Trib again 8 years later. Twice in my life, Ron.
Amazing.
I left places and somebody then became my boss at the new place.
I hear you.
It's absolutely
incredible.
Well,
it's funny, the guy I left at the Beaver County Times, and there was absolutely no hard feelings. This was back in the day where you'd start at a small paper and you work your way up.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a job at a small paper, you're thankful, A, that there's a small paper, and B, that you have a job.
Yes.
I was part of the group that Dulac, Bouchette, Molinari, guys started small and worked their way up. Now people don't have a chance to work their way up because there's just no jobs. So I left the Beaver County Times, and my sports editor was a man named Sam Bechtel, tremendous newspaper man. Like within 6 months after the press hired me, they hired Sam, and he became one of my bosses again at the Pittsburgh Press.
Unbelievable.
What a world it is.
Point being, in the AFC, Ron, seriously, that unless there's injuries or things like that, it was predictable coming into this year. Who didn't predict Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, whether you thought they would win the division or not, Ravens to make the playoffs? That's 1, 2, 3, 4 of your 7 spots.
Well,
and Chargers.
I'll tell you exactly.
The Jags were a surprise. The Jags were a surprise. You and I both picked at least 5 of 7.
All right.
Maybe
I'm,
6.
I'm looking at them here.
Maybe 6.
I had Baltimore winning the division. You had Cincy.
Mm-hmm.
I had Indy. You had Tennessee. We both lost there.
Mm-hmm.
We both had Buffalo. We both had the Chargers. We lost there. I had Cincy, KC, Miami going to the playoffs. I was right on all those.
But we both had Kansas City going.
You had New England, Kansas City, Baltimore going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we, man, I'm looking at it again, Super Bowl. You had San Fran over Cincy. You came real close.
Close.
Real close. Mine, not so much. Chargers over Green Bay.
I guess my point in the end is that as the Steelers get ready to launch into this offseason, to my way of thinking, there's going to be 3 open spots for 12 teams. Because unless something major happens, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lawrence, and Mahomes are making, and I'm thinking Herbert's going to make one of those too, unless something very unusual happens. Lamar Jackson, something like 46-15. If he stays healthy, the Ravens are going to be tough.
How about Tua and Miami?
And Tua. So it's not going to be easy to make the playoffs next year either, by the way. It's going to be very difficult to make the playoffs next year. Would you agree, Fulsey?
It seems like it. Seems like there's only really a couple of spots at the bottom of the wild card.
3 of 12. There's 3 spots for 12 teams. I don't know who's going to stink. I think probably maybe Houston, maybe Indy. Who's going to be the worst teams? Maybe the Raiders? Maybe an injury kills one team?
I think Houston's going to take a big step. They got the second overall pick. They're going to get a quarterback. Now he'll be a rookie.
I know, but they're 3-13
and 1. They got a coach that everybody – yeah, but I mean, say big step. I don't know they're going to go to the playoffs, but I could see them winning double amount of games, 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
And what teams are going to improve? Browns maybe with Deshaun Watson there for
Browns
a full year?
Browns are a candidate. The Steelers are definitely
Steelers.
A candidate because of Pickett. New England, I would think, is a candidate, having an actual coordinator. If the Jets turn up Aaron Rodgers – on a really good defense, what do they? They suddenly become, I think, a favorite for a wild card.
Sean Payton in the Denver Broncos.
Sean Payton. It's going to be really tough for the Steelers to make the playoffs
but
next year.
One or two of those teams we're talking about, though, will have down, disappointing years. It almost always happens. Maybe it'll be Baltimore. Maybe it'll be
Maybe one. Tennessee, maybe this year.
Maybe Cincinnati will take a step back. Maybe, you know, the wrong guy gets hurt.
Sure.
It's never as predictable as it seems, but I think your point is well taken. It's going to be awfully hard to make it next year.
See, I think it's way more predictable than people make the NFL out to be. On a week-to-week basis, wildly unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen, but by and large...
Well, they say any given Sunday, right?
By and large, I think it's actually quite predictable. And we were talking about Jacksonville as a playoff team, too, before the season. For Doug Peters to come in with Lawrence and make the playoffs was surprising, but not, you know, an all-time stunner or anything. The Steelers have their work cut out just to get in next year. We agree on that?
Yep, sure do.
Would you pick him to get in? Would you pick him to get in?
With those quarterbacks.
Right now, would you pick him to get in?
No.
I don't think I would either.
Right
I don't
now,
think I
no,
would
let's
either.
See what free agency brings, what the draft brings, but as of right now, I have a hard time. And I think Pickett's going to be good and get better, but is he going to be better than any of those three quarterbacks in that division?
I mean, they almost made it this year, and they only had Pickett for what? Eight games? How many games?
I know, but Miami, New England, the Jets, the Titans almost made it too. They're probably going to have 9 wins, 10 wins, and be
right there
at the end. If they have 10, they'll get in. If
they
have 9, they probably won't.
Always get around 8, 9, 10, right?
They'll be hovering around the 6, 7 seed.
Yeah. Them and about 8 other teams.
Right.
It's very interesting. They're not one of those teams that you just look at and say they're going to be in, like Buffalo, Cincy, Kansas City.
Do you feel like the AFC is unusually deep, like more than any other year?
This year?
Upcoming year, yeah.
No, I think it's going to be your favorites and then everybody mixed into a pile.
Trying to find a couple spots.
Do you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think what's been established now, and it was true again this year, is that there's a big three of Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Kansas City. And then there's everybody else.
Yeah. No doubt. I think Baltimore was in there, but their quarterback hasn't been healthy. When he's healthy, they win the vast majority of their games.
I can't wait to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
What a mess down there, it seems like, anyway.
Yeah. I think he's – do you think he'll be their quarterback next year?
I do. I think they'll franchise him.
Fulcinki?
I think so, too. I think they're going to pay him his money in the end.
Yeah.
Well, they've offered to pay him his money. They just don't want to do the guarantee.
They've offered to pay him their money.
Deshaun Watson – you know, and Andrew Brandt says it's absolutely an outlier on Watson that all these other teams are basically saying, we're not going to pay guaranteed money like that. I think they hate Jimmy Haslam for that deal.
No doubt.
Although if he gets hurt again next year
and
misses 5+ games, then there's a conversation to be had.
Yes, there is. But $133 million was way low for if indeed that was the guarantee.
Well, that was the guarantee, yeah.
That's not going to happen. He's not going to take that. And they can move on, but are they going to move on with a guy who wins as much as he does? That's the thing.
Did I see...
45 and 16 in his career.
Did I see, you know, on our boards here, we all have all these messages and stuff, the computer boards around the circle of the office here. That Tyler Huntley looks down his nose at his critics, and it said he and Derek Carr gave the AFC a huge lead in the skills competition.
Did they?
That Tyler Huntley was a star at the skills competition. So take that, you Tyler Huntley critics.
The Tyler Huntley bashers.
Derek
Folsing
Carr
leads that crew.
Yeah, I do, actually. I really do. Derek Carr had a great quote from the Pro Bowl. Did you see this in an interview with Ryan Clark?
No, but why don't we use it as a classic radio tease?
We shall.
May we? And I wanted to get to a six-pack. I wanted to open with a six-pack.
I'm not sure. There's a lot going on in the NFL. I'm not sure we could even do back-to-back wheels of football. You know, come one, come all.
Wow.
Right?
Ron loves the wheel of football.
That would be stepping out on a ledge. I like it, Folsy. You?
We can make it happen.
Well, up next, let's do a little six-pack. Let's start with that Derek Carr quote. Some bad news for the Cincinnati Bengals, although that story seems to be evolving.
And
Penguins.
And another Super Bowl Steeler passes away.
That, too. That's absolutely true. And I know Ron has an anecdote about Sidney Thornton. Let's talk about all of that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.